morning.
I'm of the personal opinion that none of us makes a difference. Except for ourselves. And I'm wondering if you could comment on when you have a city of a million people and you have a 3-day celebration with the 2,000, which is a minutia, and you have statistics that show that even if gas goes to $6, $7, $8 a gallon, a large number of people will not change their behavior. So could you maybe just give me your thoughts on the relevance of your behavior towards you as opposed to towards the society you're in terms of environmental behavior?
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. Please jump in if you want to, my dear. Anytime. Sheikh. There's so many aspects of that. First of all, one person can make a lot of difference depending on who that one person is, right? How much media control you have. Your expertise in fear tactics, we see what that has done.
How much... You said something about one person and what they can do.
Yeah, but one... I will, and that's what I... And I think that one person, depending on how you approach that individual, how that individual approaches and what they approach, I think that it's extremely important for us to remember, and what I was originally going to call this talk for myself, and I told it to Hajanura, I told it to your mother, the insignificance of significance and the significance of insignificance. I firmly believe that everybody makes a change, makes a difference. I firmly believe that in my experience that if we think in what I've been talking about recently among our own people and in other lectures and writing on is this code of systems theory of Allah, okay? That and the example I give, it's not in my talk today, but the example I give is if you have you have a very still pond, and this, by the way, a still ocean, a still pond is a very common cosmic metaphor that's used by almost every mystical religion. You know, the pralaya for the Hindus, for example, is the same thing. You throw a stone, basic physics shows us what happens. If you have a bounded world, a bounded universe, let's call it the pond and its bank, and you throw a stone in it, the ripple goes out and it comes back. There's a response. And the more stones you throw in, the more complex the system becomes. Right? Each one of us are throwing stones in many places. We're throwing stones inside of our own self. We're creating events inside of ourselves that we're forcing ourselves to respond to that distract us. We are creating events in the world, in our homes, in our community, in our families, around us, that force us to respond to things in ways that we don't think are appropriate. And so when we control and we begin to understand our relationship with this Creator, and what we place in this pond is something we want amplified back, we start to enter into other aspects of like systems theory, which you're familiar with, you know, and string theory and other things that tell us that there is this, that there is a possibility at one point of a paradigm shift, an emergent phenomena. And so individually in our own life, we have to see that what it may appear to be insignificant in a larger realm is extremely significant on how we approach life, as how we approach Allah, as how we approach the choices we make, the advice we give, the responses we give to circumstances around us. It all becomes part of our consciousness, our ibadah. And so this desire to know, this desire to investigate, this desire to understand, this desire to question, even this question, is a calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling upon that system to respond to me, to say to me, okay, what is the reality? What is the purpose of this individual life of mine? How do I make a difference? How do I come to a contentment? How do I come to an understanding that what I am doing is part of a larger whole, as insignificant as it may seem to be? It has a significance to it. That's on a more sort of theological, philosophical whatever. Practically, when we examine our emotions, when we examine our way our mind operates, when we examine the responses in the faces of our children, of whom you have a number, and we see that we have done something good and they reflect back to us that goodness, we feel the importance of our choices. We feel the importance of our actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us able to feel, to respond. When we're dissatisfied with what's happening in the world, when we're upset, when we're confused by choices others are making, when we're angry, when we're frustrated by the choices that others are making, $6 a gallon and I'll still drive, kind of thing. As if driving is a holy right and as if it's a great thing. Of course, as I said in my talk, you know, it just means more cars, more roads, more heavier footprint. When we're upset by these things, that when the intention of our upset becomes controlled by us, and we do actions against that. Yes, there may be only 2,000 people come out for Earth Day. And that may be a very insignificant thing. But one of those people, maybe, Sheikh Nuruddin said it today, there may be only 10 people in this room, but the video may go out to 1 million on the internet, which is your world that you work in. You have tremendous influence of people. We have to shift the way we think about our influence. We have to shift the way we position ourselves in our own minds about our influence. Is that in any way helpful?
Let me add something to that.
Yeah, please.
I attended a conference back, and the Christian minister, the question came up about, what can one person do? And this man, he was from Christchurch in New Zealand, and he said that, he told the story that he had decided, in the light of various nuclear considerations, that he would declare his bedroom to be a nuclear-free zone. And he convinced his wife to go along with him. And then they had a nuclear-free bedroom. And then he had three kids, and the three kids' bedroom became nuclear-free as well. So they now had, their whole house would be nuclear-free. And then they talked to their neighbors, and so on and so forth. And after a while, Christchurch became a nuclear-free city. Well, most of you, or many of you, may know now, New Zealand, the whole country of New Zealand, is a nuclear-free country. There's no nuclear carriers permitted, there's nothing permitted. This man started in his bedroom, and he got his whole country into that state. So, obviously, one person can't really make a difference depending on how they go about doing it.
And the world has changed a great deal, and that's broadcast around the world instantaneously now. And I think that we have to really, understand, the good and the evil of the tech. You and I have had this conversation, the good and the evil about this technology and how it's used, and for what good it can come. I think a lot of it has to do with how we feel about ourselves, where our levels of frustration lie and our hopes lie. I've lived my whole life as an idealist. Ever since I can remember, I believed the impossible was possible, and I've set out to prove it. And to some degree, we have proven it in our life, in our work, in our community, in our small organization that works globally. We have proven it, and it's not as a justification or anything. I feel there's much more we can do. There are certainly times of frustration and anxiety and questioning. How have I spent the last 40 or 50 years of my life? But the truth is, you influence one person, the right person. Or 10 people, or 100 people. My sheikh used to say to me, we're looking for the best 10. That's what he said. We're looking for the best 10.
Sheikh,
yeah. Yes, my dear, Kalyan.
You invited us to.
Yeah, please. Kalyan, please, my dear.
There's a really down-to-earth story of somewhat in reply to your question in the New York Times of the past week sometime. I think it's Brian Jones, I pronounce her name, Akashama, something like that, constantly comes up with it. anyway, the headline.
I don't read liberal pink on newspapers.
No,
no, I'm sorry, TV.
some of us, some people obviously don't think it's just conservative, you know.
Yeah, I subscribe to it online. Go ahead.
On the op-ed page in August.
Tell us the story.
So the headline on this is something about what makes New Yorkers different from other people. And well, this is where it attacked me, having lived there all 3 years. And,
other than bagels and Bialys, yes.
Well, and they're even here. So that's not true. Anyway, one of those things that is that New Yorkers are in public the way they are in private. You know, we'll gab to anybody, tell your life story to somebody next to you on the bus, you never try and see them again anyway, you know, people just a little bit. And you approach and jump into a situation you have no business of being here, they're talking about something, nobody knows anything, and you say, oh, I can help you with that. And it's because in New York, everybody lives in such close circumstances, so dependent on each other, in part, so used to being in crowds, that you treat everybody like a family. So that's regarded as arrogance or impossible familiarity with some people. But, you know, it wasn't even kept in Charlotte to some extent. But I certainly noticed it when I moved down to this area 17 years ago. Now, the story about Joseph Apicella wrote about is that something that I forgot how she got into this, but New Yorkers generally focus on being active and doing the job at hand, blah, 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 rushing, nothing rushing to do. And so, yes, everybody speeches to a halt. And that's what's happening when suddenly the government there's a water shortage, they're worried about the water. And the drought for 2 years, and you know, there's been reservoirs and all this business, and well, it happened back in the 60s, suddenly you started getting some covered water out of your faucet. And so the mayor announces that people should please turn off the faucet while you're brushing your teeth, it doesn't have to keep running. You know, how many of us have done that? And when there's a crisis, you start speaking. Suddenly, no, people say, I don't need to pay attention to that. Wrong. Now, I lived there during several times like that when I worked throughout. And it's just amazing because the psychology normally is you've got a faucet running or something, you think, the ancient water maker leaked so much water. That was all the kind of the newspaper too. So many millions of gallons every week or every day. That, what does this matter? But as soon as there's a drought, Mayor says, turn that faucet off, you ruin it again. I can do that. And they do it. And suddenly the usage is down dramatically. So, New York isn't everybody, but that kind of thing can spread, and as cities grow, it spread to other areas, and now it's a crisis everywhere. In so many ways, and that one thing that's helping is that enemy of our peace, the high technology, the constant internet usage, and all of the ultimate communication, the container neck on one side, is also very useful getting that word out to more people.
Mizan, has to be balanced.
Yeah.
But how are we going to do it unless we think in a balanced way? Why, if we don't value balance and harmony, how is it possible to create it?
Well,
it's impossible.
There's herd mentality too. When you have, you know, it's the New York thing,
they're
not all balanced.
Yeah, well, the herd mentality, you know, belongs, it's owned by the politicians too. You know, I mean, it's it. They have to be held accountable. This is why Barack Obama is such a threat. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get him to drink the well water, you know, the story about the well water. Mm-hmm. You know. The well gets poisoned, but the ascetic living up on the hill hears from Allah that the well is poisoned. Something's going to happen with the well, so he stores up water. You know, and he doesn't drink the well water. And every time he goes down to get a little food or something, the villagers get more and more hostile, more and more arrogant, more and more angry at him. And where they used to be giving to him, they would give him food, they would give him water, they'd give him anything he needed. Now they're hostile to him. And finally they start throwing stones at him, the children are jeering him, the people are beating him. So he has years worth of water left. But he comes down and he goes over to the well and he drinks the water. Because he can't survive that way. It's the other side of the story. You know? And the other story is the Lake of Milk story. You know, the king who has everything, his birthday is coming, and his wazir says to him, "What do you want for your birthday?" And the king says, "I don't know." And he says, "Well, think, please." And he says, "Well, I want a lake of milk. I want to wake up in the morning and have a lake of milk in front of me." So the word goes out that for the king's birthday, everybody's to bring a liter of milk. And all night long, you hear this shuffling. All night long, finally, the wazir comes in the morning, and the drapes are drawn, and the king says, "Draw the drapes, and I will feast my eyes as the sun rising over the lake of milk." And they open up the drapes, and the hole that had been dug is filled with a beautiful lake of water. Because the people were poor. And they thought, who will miss my liter of milk? Nobody's going to miss my liter of milk. And so everybody brought water, or 90% of the people brought water. Because nobody would miss it. We have to rely on ourselves first. We have to have the integrity ourselves first. And it will automatically, Allah will attenuate it. He will amplify it. Just like the wave coming back from in the wave motion machine is amplified. This is part of faith. It's part of belief. Although our rational mind argues it, and our frustration overwhelms it, but it is the way things are. This is the promise to Allah. Everything Quran, Allah promises us individually and some places collectively, but it's always individually and collectively. It's either individually or it's individually and collectively. You know. It's the miracle of you. I like to call it in English the miracle of you. You know, sometimes you don't know whether it's singular or plural. You hear?
Being overwhelmed, that the right response is
you know, I think these are all wonderful thoughts, and we had a lot of discussion, but I think that basically I tried to accomplish in what I was saying was to say this is all interconnected. And when you're working on one, you're working on the whole. And that's why humility will emerge. Sincerity emerges. You read Quran every night, like they do here, you know, in recitations, no matter what. You're tired, you're sick, no matter what, you read your Quran. You make your prayers. You make your, you, for us, we do that, we do Muraqabah, we raise Hizbullah. All these things, these are things we do to remind us, things we do because they feel right, things we do because we gain knowledge from them, things we do. But the thing that comes from all of this sincerity, from this personal commitment, are all the things you're asking about. Arrogance is reduced. Gratitude is increased. Trustworthiness is increased. Fear is reduced. Piety is increased. Doubt is reduced. Now, you know, surety is increased. It comes automatically. You can't just set out to do it. You have to do the things that create it. You fertilize the tree bears fruit. You can't make the tree bear fruit. You can do things to help the tree bear its fruit, but you can't make the tree bear the fruit. Our role is always part of the process, not the whole process. And that's why we have to have, we can make all these, we can say, oh, my life is this busy and I have my children and I have my job and I have my studying and I have this and I have that and I don't have time for that. You know, mañana, this is Arabic, you don't mind if I use Arabic, right? Mañana, we're going to do it, mañana. And it's all going to be done. Just seeing if you're awake. I know it's Italian. Now's the time to do something, anything, sincerely, trust. Trust in it. So people are going to be, oh, you know, we've said this before here. You know, I don't need a guide. I don't need a sheikh. This is true. Nobody needs a guide. Nobody needs a sheikh until you need a guide and you need a sheikh. Nobody needs religion until you need religion. Nobody needs anything until you need it. But to actively fear to need it, to turn away from what's presented to you on the plate and say, ah, look at that beautiful couscous and the tangine to go with it and all the beautiful, well, my wife is here, I should say, look at all the choresht and the tadik and the jeweled rice and all the rest of it, alhamdulillah. Can I have a hot dog instead? So I call this a hot dog consciousness. You can't go out and you can't accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on your plate. Let alone even attempt to enjoy it, even alone attempt to appreciate the fact that someone made it. And then ask the question, where did all these ingredients come from? And then say, better go home and tell grandma, rice is being rationed. This year, instead of coming back with a carpet or something else from Iran, come back with 25 pounds of rice. You know? You understand? I mean, it's this kind of awareness. We've got to take it seriously. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in among Muslims. Be grateful. Yes, there are all kinds of Muslims. Wallahi, that's, you know, find the right ones for you. But people put you among environmentalists, alhamdulillah, colleges, people who are good people, kind people. Muslims, when I use the word Muslim, I also mean believers. I mean people who are in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good people. Look at what Allah has placed to you on your plate. Look where Allah has placed you. This gets to this whole subject that we talked about last year on Taqdeer. This is our destiny. What we're dealing with is our destiny. We can argue who created it, when and what day this happened, but this is our destiny. It's written. And the answers are already written. Thank you for coming from Minnesota.
Yes. Yeah.
also looking to be as if you want to guide by hill. Because we all know that if you have a specific zip code, it may tell me a lot about your environmental condition. So it impacts people. It's a very interconnected piece. And I've been relating that to risk and how we're given provision. And I'm ready to, I think, understand some of the stigma of that. And that some are even more or less when you think about financial provision. But a level of lean, I think that also refers to the provision, whether it's the intellect, whether it's the ability to really speak for our brothers and sisters who don't have, because people don't have support.
Hallelujah.
And it relates back to what the brother was saying, can we make a difference? And there's kind of a hint back to what you said, it's like a lot comes out of the front of us. So maybe he will put environmental in front of you, maybe he will put poverty in front of you, maybe he will put embrace in front of you. Whatever it is, perhaps he practices that make us awake to what is in front of us and allowing a lot of chance to move us in whatever way we are given that provision and will.
Alhamdulillah, beautifully said. Thank you for the nice contribution. Very, very important, very beautifully said. Alhamdulillah. This is very serious, important contemplation. And I will reward you and give you more and more answers so you can have more and more questions. So, I'm sure there will be many more times for questions and answers today and discussion. Anybody else want to say anything? And then we can move on to sustainability of ourselves. By the way, for those who don't know, this gentleman does incredible work educating people. He's probably prepared a number of people who in the next 20 or 30 or 40 years will do great things for this world. He may never know it, but inshallah he does see some. He does incredible people, incredible brilliant things. So your individual work in I is inspiring to me, as you know, and I'm sure it's changed lives. And Allah says, you know, we can take the whole quotation Quran that if you take the life of one human being, this is taking the life of all human beings. If you take the life of one human being, it's like the life of another human being is saving the life. And in that sense, we can take it more than on the physical level. Give life to their ideas, give life to their hopes, give life to their abilities. We will all benefit either here in the Akhirah from that. And here in the Akhirah, is right now. It's now. It's not linear time somewhere else. It's right now. Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah. I look forward to talking to you more. Thank you, Sidney, for the opportunity again. And Allah bless you. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's read Fatiha before I end so we can start the next activity. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.